Hey,
hi!
We are starting a new series tonight. Did you guys know that? It is called The Other Side. You know, like we live in one little part of the world, the visible part, the physical part. There's this whole other thing going on that we forget about, the spiritual side. And we forget about it because we don't see it. So, you know, out of sight, out of mind, I guess. But we're talking about angels, demons, spiritualists, you know, people that contact the dead. I mean, we're going to talk about all this stuff during this series. Tonight, specifically, we're talking about angels. And I don't know, there's a lot of weird stuff going around about angels. Like, they're really popular right now, you know? Isn't that kind of weird? I don't know if you guys have seen books about angels all over the place. And, you know, like mediums, you know, they want to talk to angels and spirits and stuff like that. Like, you know, the John Edwards show and stuff like that, you know, I don't know, it's just weird stuff. But a lot of people claim to have encountered an angel, and I don't know if I have or not, but I do remember back when I was 16, and I can remember that far back. Was just by show of hands, is anyone in here ever 16? All right, good, most of us. Not those two, though. I don't know why. That's a little weird. But now, since we were all 16 at some point, you'll remember maybe we were all stupid at some point too, right? Like we all did things that were just, like you look back, you're like, I can't believe I'm alive, you know? Like I got my car when I was like 14 or 15, and by the time I was 16, my friend and I, we decided we wanted to see how fast my car would go, okay? Now, it was an Acura Integra. It was a pretty nice little four-banger. I mean, the body was nasty, but it was pretty fast. And so, you know, being the smart teenagers that we were, we decided to find a gravel road. And and we get on this gravel road, and it had 5 gears, it was a manual. And I just punch it, you know, first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear. We're hopping into fifth gear. We're going up 90 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, 105, 110, 115. My speedometer won't go hardly any further. And we're like, this is awesome. And you know, if you've ever driven even close to that fast, like on a highway, you know, you feel like your car's just kind of floating, right? You're like, I'm like from the Jetsons. And you do this on gravel, it is crazy. Not only do you feel like you're floating, you feel like you're bouncing, okay? It's like those astronauts on the moon. You're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going. And it's just awesome. And we're floating along going, we're the most cool people ever. We're thinking, you know, we're all awesome. And we come over the crest of this hill, start coming down, and we see coming down the other side of the hill a dump truck. Now, if you think about gravel roads, they're not that wide. Like, they're a lane and a half, you know? And the dump truck, he sees us, and so what do you think he does? He slams on his brakes. You ever slammed on your brakes on a gravel road? What do? You turn sideways. So now we've got a dump truck turned sideways in a gravel road, and we're going 120 freaking miles an hour right at it. We're going closer. My friend looks at me and says, we're going to die. Dead serious, that's what he said. I said, I know. We kept getting closer, and we come down to the hill. He stopped right there, and the look in this guy's eyes, man. I mean, it was easy to see his eyes because they were like this big, okay? He was just like, oh! Started getting closer. I closed my eyes. I'm driving the car. I closed my eyes. I was like, God, I'm sorry. Help us to get out of this. Seriously, that's what I was saying. And my friend, I don't know what he was doing, but as soon as I opened my eyes, I realized we are past the truck. We're past. I go, Mike. He looks at me. He goes, we're alive. and we get stopped finally. I don't know. It took us forever to get stopped. And we turned around and we're sitting there. We're just like shaking, going, holy smokes, what happened? How did you? I said, how did we get by him? He goes, I don't know. I closed my eyes. And now, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know how we got by this truck, but I do know that the semi-truck took up most of the road. I mean, is it feasible that the car swerved off into the ditch, hit the side, and then came back on the road without us noticing? It's possible. You know, I don't really know. I do know when we drove by, we were looking in the ditch for car tracks. There were no car tracks, and we were sufficiently freaked out. So, and my mom didn't hear that story until about like 4 years ago when I was like 26 or 27. And she's like, don't tell me anymore. You know? So like, it's, you know, it's possible that that God put his angels there to protect me, because my mom told me, whenever you would go out driving, I would say a prayer: God, put an angel on every corner of that car, underneath the car, on top of the car. Please protect my son, because he's insane. She knew I was insane. So seriously, she would. You can ask her if you see her. She would pray every time I left to drive somewhere. So if you're glad I'm here, you can thank my mom. If you're not, you can blame her. So, you know, we, but irregardless, you know, I think it's potential that God, you know, saved my life that day, that maybe he even used angels to do it. I mean, my mom was praying for that, and there's no reason we should have gotten out of that. But it's, I wouldn't say it's common to have encounters with angels, but it's not uncommon. I mean, this sort of thing does happen. This book is called Angels Among Us by Ron Rhodes. It's a really good book. Okay, this guy is a theologian, a philosopher. He's not a quack. He's not a crazy guy. He's very methodical in his research. And he found stories. I'm going to share a couple with you. This one is called Revival in the Hospital. It's really short, but he explains, says the editor of a leadership magazine, a popular publication among church leaders, speaks of how his young daughter was comatose one night, very near death. All right, and this is related in Christianity Today magazine. It says, as this girl was comatose, she was almost dead in the hospital. She was dying. A hospital staff worker stopped by the room, and what this guy saw, according to his own account, he saw angels hovering over the girl's bed. I'm imagining he was a little freaked out, right? The following morning, the daughter had amazingly revived. This editor, not prone to sensationalism, did not hesitate to believe that angels had truly visited the girl that night. The staff worker, as a result of the incredible sight she had seen, renewed her commitment to God. So you have this situation. You have a girl who's dying in a hospital bed, comatose. A guy claims that he saw an angel over her, and then the next morning, the girl's fine. Isn't that a little weird? Angels are among us. I mean, angels are here. It's kind of crazy. And it's not just a Christian thing. I mean, Islam, Judaism, they all claim that angels exist. Now, the fact that those other religions claim they exist doesn't prove it, but it does show us one thing. The vast majority of people on earth and the biggest religions are all acknowledge the existence of angels. And there's a lot of messed up ideas about angels. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through quick, I think it's nine, is it nine facts that I'm just going to share with you about angels really quick. And then we're going to kind of pull it apart and see what it has to do with. And fact number one is this. Number one, humans do not become angels. I'm sorry. Don't blame me, okay? God created angels. God created humans, and they're different. All right? God created men. God created women. We're different. And just like that, we, when we die, do not turn into angels. Angels are not the product of bells ringing or babies crying or whatever it may be. What is that they say? Every time a bell rings? No, that's not right. Yeah, angel gets the wings. Well, okay. Anyway, we're going to talk about angel wings too, but let's go to the next one first. Number two, angels are not all equal. They have different ranks. So if you see an angel, next, ask him. Be like, so are you like high ranking or like are you kind of low on the totem pole? I'm just kidding. Don't do that. They probably wouldn't be happy. You have this guy named Michael is the what? Archangel. Yep. You also have things called cherubim, which, you know, in popular magazines, you know, cherubim are like the cuddly fat babies. You know, no. If you meet a cherubim, you're probably going to crap your pants, not pinch his cheeks, okay? It's scary. I'm just being honest. I'm sorry. You also got seraphim. They're like third down there. Although some seraphim can be higher ranked. It's kind of weird how it works out. We're not going to spend time on the ranks of angels because it's not really worth it to study, in my opinion. So we're just going to move on from there. Number three, angels have time and space limitations. They're not everywhere. They don't have all the time in the world. So if you're meeting with an angel, just let him finish his business and move on. He's got things to do, people. I'm just kidding. That's so stupid, huh? But they really do have time and space limitations. This is pretty interesting. Daniel 9:21. And tonight we are going to use our Bibles, but for these verses right here, I just want to get through them quick. So we're going to put them on the screen. Daniel 9:21. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man, an angel that I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me, listen, in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He flew, and so he has to move, but he was also swift, so it was fast. Think I could beat him in my car? Think I could do that? I had a little gold thing on my, this is really sad. In that very car, I had this little gold plate that stuck to my dashboard that said, never drive faster than your guardian angel can fly. So that was pretty cool. Fortunately, mine could do 210 with one wing. So Daniel 10 also, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And this is an angel talking. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I've come to explain to you. This is kind of weird, isn't it? So what you have here is an angel talking to Daniel going, hey, God heard your prayer and I came to answer it, but I got stuck because this dude was messing with me and I couldn't get out of there. So Michael, the archangel, had to come help me out. Finally, Michael kicked some butt. Now I'm free. Here I am. Isn't that kind of weird? I know that's a loose interpretation, but that's really what is going on. So, number four, angels, and this is going to make you so sad, don't necessarily have wings. I'm sorry, I told you we'd talk about angels and wings, but, you know, some do, I'll admit that. Actually, this is just, there's no research to prove this at all. I'm just going to talk out of the side of my mouth, but I think most angels probably do have wings. When the Bible describes them, I think most do, but not all of them do. How do we know this? Well, look at Hebrews 13. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. So, God sometimes sends angels down here to see what we're going to do, to see if we entertain them, to see if we help them out, to kind of test us. And I'm just guessing those angels don't have wings. You know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, if you're walking down the street and you see a poor guy and there's a wing sticking out, help him, okay? Help him. If nothing else, because he's got a wing. So, all right, number five. Angels are immortal. They cannot die. This is cool. Look at Luke 20. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. He's talking about people who've been raised from the dead. So once you get risen from the dead, you're going to be immortal, but the angels already got one up on you. They're immortal. They cannot die. No matter what you do to them, angels cannot die. And thus, we're going to talk about this next week, but demons can't die either, because demons are just fallen angels. So it's kind of interesting. This is kind of interesting. In Daniel 9, you get the angel Gabriel appearing to Daniel. And then in the book of Zechariah, Luke, Gabriel comes and appears to a guy named Zechariah. Time span there was 500 years. And, you know, when Zechariah saw him, he wasn't like, I saw this angel, and he was old. You know, I mean, it's the same angel. He looks the same. He does the same things. They're immortal. They don't age. Number six, angels often frighten people. Right, this is an important one to remember as we get into talking about this stuff tonight. A lot of times when people encounter angels, the last thing that happens is like, oh, wow, I sense a warm presence. This is nice. I like this. Usually it's like, oh, crap. Oh, crap. And the angel's like, no, 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 don't be afraid. No, I won't hurt you. You know, it's like, check this out. It's Luke 1:11, okay? Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. I always think that's funny. like that's going to comfort me, right? Imagine you're walking through a forest. You come on and you see Bigfoot. He's like, and you're like, oh no. And he goes, don't be afraid. Like, yeah, right. You're freaking me out. And now you're talking to me. I don't know. God. But then in Luke 1:28, the angel went to Mary and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary is greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Okay, you know you're scared out of your mind if someone says, greetings, the Lord is looking favorably upon you. And you're like, oh, crap, what does that mean? You know, like, you know angels are scary, okay? They're not always like these really nice beings that make you feel comfortable. They're scary. All right, number seven, angels show up at our moment of death and escort believers to heaven. That's number seven. They show up at the moment of our death and escort believers to heaven. So when you die, you can expect some angels to show up and say, follow me. This is the way to go. They escort you there. This is found in Luke 16, 22. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Abraham's side, just a biblical way of saying heaven. And so we know that angels come at the time of people's death to take them. I remember my Aunt Katie, when she died, she had cancer. And as she was passing away, she opened her eyes and she said, look, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. And then she passed away. It's kind of weird, huh? So, you know, I think maybe she saw angels. I'm not going to say for sure, but I think it's a good possibility. There are a lot of reports of people seeing angels upon death. Number 8, this is the one that's the weirdest. All right, like if I was to guess a million things with angels, I would have never guessed this one. We will judge angels. Did you know that? Kind of weird, isn't it? You and me, if we're Christians, we are going to judge the angels. Check this out. This is 1 Corinthians 6. All right? If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Basically, there he's saying, hey, if you guys are having problems with each other, you need to go to the church and let the church help you settle it out instead of suing each other. Do you not know that all the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? I'm like, no, I didn't know that. Tell me more. Unfortunately, he doesn't tell us more, so I can't really preach a sermon about it. All I know is that we will judge angels. And if anyone tries to teach a big thing about, you know, when we judge angels and what it's going to be like, they're most of the time probably just giving you a bunch of crap because this is all the Bible really says about it. So, we're going to judge the angels. And finally, this is really cool. Most likely, there are millions of angels. Millions of angels. Not just one or two. Not just a couple hundred or thousand, there are millions of them. Check this out. This is Revelation 5:11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. Anybody know what 10,000 times 10,000 is? 100 million. Okay, now I don't think the Bible's giving us a mathematical equation here. I don't think John, who wrote this book, was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know. 100 million. Oh, wait, I got to start over. I messed that up. You know, I don't think he's giving us like a perfect number here, but I think what he's trying to tell us is, I mean, not really, 10,000 times 10,000 is a Hebrew way of saying a lot. Okay, like a lot. And this is funny. There's this guy named St. Albert the Great, okay? He lived about 1200 AD, and he actually did a whole bunch of mathematical calculations, and he figured out how many angels there are. Isn't this cool? You want to know? He figured out there were 399,204,004 angels. That's great, because I thought there were 399,920,003. So I was wrong. No, I don't know. So when people come up with stuff like that, then you just want to say, what's wrong with you? Like, how much time did you waste doing that, right? Like, you could have been helping the poor or cleaning your toilet or something. I mean, anything. I don't know. Anyway, Clement of Alexandria, he was a famous Christian from the second century, and he says that he thinks the number of angels is equal to the number of stars in the sky. Now, this is actually kind of based on the Bible. Like, there's some verses that talk about angels and stars being kind of similar, but I think is really based loosely. So if that's the case, there would be billions of angels, or the B, billions. But I mean, no matter how you slice it, the main thing is there are lots and lots of angels, right? So when we hear stories about angels, you know, it's not something I think we should necessarily scoff at. I mean, it's because, come on, let's be honest. If someone tells us a story about angels, we'll be like, that's great. No, really, that's cool. And inside we're thinking, this dude is nuts, right? That's what most of us are thinking. But, you know, if there really are millions of angels, perhaps billions, isn't it feasible that God might use them to do things in our world today? Don't you think that makes sense? I think it does. This story here is, this is pretty cool. It's one day in 1977, Linda Gates of Sacramento, California, was cleaning her kitchen when she suddenly heard her 4-year-old boy, Michael, running down the hall. Then she heard the front door slam shut, an unusual occurrence since the door was warped and required adult strength to close tightly. Upon going outside, Linda found Michael, his eyes wide. He said, "A man got me out, Mama. A man got me out." Michael then led his mother to his smoke-filled room where a curtain was burning. As it turned out, Michael had been playing with a box of matches and set the curtains on fire. After firefighters put out the blaze, one of them told Linda the smoke could easily have killed her son. Linda recounts, "Michael told me that a man with long blonde hair and a many-colored shirt," many colors, how he described it, "shirt, had appeared at his door and said, 'Michael, come out of there.' When my son said he wanted to look for his teddy bear, the man pulled him out of the room." That evening, their bedtime story just happened to be about Daniel and the lion's den, and the key verse for the story was, "God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight." So, you know, they think that was probably an angel that came and pulled that kid out of there. I mean, gosh, isn't that, I don't know, it's pretty neat. There's no reason to think those aren't true. I mean, there's many popular ideas of what angels do. A lot of them center around, you know, saving people or things like that. But I think most of them center around this warm feeling. You ever read any popular books about angels or any articles and stuff? I've read a few, and it's just really weird. You know, most ideas of angels are just really out there. I'll just go ahead and read this because everyone's reading it already anyway. Time magazine says this: "For those who choke too easily on God and his rules, angels are the handy compromise, all fluff and meringue, kind, non-judgmental, and they're available to everyone, like aspirin." Two for one at Walgreens right now. This is what the world thinks about angels. Is that weird? I kind of agree, to be honest, that this is what the world really thinks. Because God is like this huge concept. And you know that when you die, you're going to have to face God, and God's going to judge you. That's kind of scary. And so if you just want to be all spiritual and believe in angels, it's cool because angels aren't going to judge me. I mean, they're practically clouds, you know? Like, they're fluffy. They're soft, and like I could hug one. I could use them as a pillow if I could fold them upright. Like, I mean, you know, like, this is kind of the feeling people get about angels. They're just so nice, and they're warm. And some people consider angels like really good communicators with God because, you know, God's big and God's out there and God really doesn't know you, but your angel cares. Like, check this out. This is by a guy named Andre D'Angelo. He is the pastor of the First Church of the Angels. And he says this: "You always can't get through to a CEO, but you can always reach a good executive secretary. And an angel is like a good executive secretary." Isn't that weird? He's like, okay, God's a CEO. God's a busy guy. He doesn't have time to listen to me. But my angel's always got time. I love my angel. Like, come on. My angel's like an executive secretary. Takes notes. Buys donuts. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. I don't get it. But this is the popular notion, all right? It's not a biblical notion. You know, and nowhere in Scripture does it say, "And the executive secretary angel brought forth the notes and brought it to God, the CEO, who is too busy for you." In fact, it says just the opposite. God knows you, every little thing about you, and he wants to hear from you more. He wants us to be talking to him and praying to him. So let's throw this nonsense out. But just a few more things about how crazy people are, okay? This lady named Terry wrote a book about angels. And what was her source? Was it the Bible, the Quran? No. The main source I used for the book I wrote about angels was my strongest intuitions regarding angels. And of course, I asked the angels to inspire me at all times. Now, hold on. Catch this? She got her information from her intuitions and use those intuitions to understand what the angels were telling her to write the book. That's a very reliable source. I think my fourth grade history teacher would have been pleased if I used that to write about the Civil War. What do you think? I just had this strong intuition that the South just beat the snot out of the North. You know, it was just, I could feel those soldiers inside of me. You know, it's just, intuitions are often wrong, aren't they? I mean, sometimes they're right. I'm not going to say they're not, but often they're wrong. You know, intuition is just an intuition, especially when you're talking about facts. She doesn't know. I mean, the feelings is not where it's at. Following the word of God, the inspired word of God, that's where it's at, isn't it? I mean, because we can say all sorts of things. Now, this is, okay, I got to give you at least one more, because this is just the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Okay, this person, Jane Howard, she conducts angel contacting workshops. So if you want to contact an angel, you can go to her workshop and she'll teach you. Okay? It's really kind of sad, but it's also kind of hilarious. So let's pretend you're at the workshop and pretend I'm Jane. And this is what she says. In your mind's eye, see a bridge appear before you. I imagine she does this. A bridge of light. I'm not going to do that anymore. Get up and walk across the bridge that leads you into the angelic realm. Don't be just a spectator and see yourself walk across the bridge. Actually feel and imagine it as you get up and walk. Focus your awareness on walking across the bridge. And if you need to, say to yourself, I am walking across the bridge with my guardian angel. Once on the other side of that bridge, acknowledge that you've crossed over into the angelic realm. Like, these are the types of things she tells people to do. These people do it, they imagine it, they think it, they feel it, and then they get this feeling, and they think they've contacted their angels. So, is this real? Like, is this what's going on? When they go over there and they feel the fuzzy warmth of the contacting angels, Sophie Burnham says this about, like, the warm feelings. She says, an angelic visit brings a calm and peaceful serenity that descends sweetly over you. And this is true even when the angel's not seen. So it's light and beauty. That's what an angelic visit is like, they say. You know what the Bible says about that? 2 Corinthians 11:14 says this, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. I think most of the time when you encounter an angel and you're going, it's pretty, I feel warm and fuzzy, there's a good chance it's not a real angel. Because what happens when you encounter a real angel? Oh, crap. What happens when you encounter a pretend angel of light? Warm and fuzzy. So when we come in contact with angels, we have to ask ourselves, is this what angels are really here for? Is their job to make you feel warm and fuzzy? Or is there something bigger going on here? Like, if an angel came down, would he be thinking, okay, I am here with Dave the bass player, and my job is to make Dave feel warm and gooey? Or is he coming down saying, Dave, God's got a message for you. Better not mess up on the next worship song. You know, like, what does an angel do? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's usually the second one, because look at your outlines. The word angel, the actual word itself, describes one of their primary jobs. It literally means messenger. The name angel means messenger, not bringer of gooey feelings, but a bringer of messages. So when an angel comes to you, the vast majority of the time, he's going to be bringing a message. It's true in the Bible too. An angel came to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when the angel came, what did he do? He gave a message. Hey, you're going to be with child. An angel came to the followers of Jesus after Jesus had died and rose from the dead. What did the angel do? Did the angel comfort them? No, he said, hey, Jesus has risen. Go to Jerusalem. There was another time an angel met with one of the apostles named Philip. This is so weird. Philip is walking around. An angel shows up. You know what the angel says? I need you to go 4 blocks this way, hang right, and keep going on that road until you meet the person you're supposed to meet. And Philip's like, oh, okay. So he does it, and he runs into a eunuch. And this guy's reading scripture and says, and Philip's like, well, okay, the angel told me to come here. So Philip says, do you know what you're reading? And the guy goes, well, no. Basically, he says, I wish someone would explain it to me. And Philip's like, I could do that. And he ends up leading this guy to Christ. Isn't that cool? I mean, like, the angel gave a message, a very clear message about what to do. But check out Psalm. Now grab your Bibles. Check out Psalm. We're going to look at this verse. I want you to check this out so you know I'm not taking it out of context. Psalm 103, it's page 450. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Pretty simple verse. I'll read that one more time.
Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. All right, outlines. Let's check it out. According to Psalm 103, the primary job of angels is to do God's bidding, to obey God. That's what it says, isn't it? Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey God. Now, most of the time, this bidding of God, this obedience to God is taking an angel and the angel's going to go give someone a message. But other times, it doesn't necessarily mean the angel's going to give a message. One time, and this, I was going to explain this story, but we just got to read it in the Bibles because it is so, so funny. Acts 12, right? This is on page, in your Bible, page 820, okay? It's kind of a long story, so I want you to turn there so you can follow along. This is just one of those stories you read in the Bible and you're like, God is crazy. Like, first of all, why'd he pick this guy for his disciple? Second of all, why'd he do it this way? I don't know. It's just a funny story, I think. I don't know. Maybe you'll disagree. I don't know. Page 820. Chapter 12, verse 5, we're going to start. So kind of down a paragraph. Peter, one of Jesus' number one disciples, was in prison. And we start. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod, the king, was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Okay, you catch this? He's sleeping between two guards with two chains, and there are two sentries at the door. We've had people in jail here. Anyone, when you were in jail, did it ever happen that you were in between two guards with two chains and two sentries at the door? No? This means they did not want him to escape. So let's keep on reading here. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. Now, I find it funny here that, like, Peter wasn't scared, okay? This is, like, one of the few times that someone encounters an angel not scared, but we're going to find out why. Verse 9, Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision, so he wasn't scared because he didn't think it was real. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they'd walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, and also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda, this is awesome, came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door!" "Out of their mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept knocking. Poor guy, he's out there knocking. "Angel got me out of jail, I can't get in my stinking house!" Peter kept knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Isn't that cool? I mean, you know, just kind of off the topic, like the funniest thing I find about that is those people were together having a prayer meeting. What were they praying for? For Peter to be released from prison. Peter comes to the door and they're like, "No, that can't be Peter." They're so stupid. Just like me. And so here you have angel helping Peter out, not delivering a message, but helping Peter out, doing God's bidding. This also happened with King Herod, the guy in that same story. King Herod was out talking to some people, and they started shouting, "This is the voice of a god. You are not a man, but you are a god." And King Herod was like, "Yeah, I kind of like that." And so God sent an angel to kill him. Sometimes angels bring messages. Sometimes they let Peter out of jail. Sometimes they kill you. Tell me now, angels aren't scary, right? Also, you've heard of Daniel in lion's den? What happens is this Daniel gets thrown in this big hole with lions, rockets rolled on top. They do that to kill people. They come in the morning, they roll away the rock, they find out that Daniel's okay, and Daniel says,
The angel of the Lord protected me. He shut the mouths of the lions. So again, you see an angel not delivering a message, but just doing God's bidding. And that happens. We're going to read another story from here. You know, it's sometimes angels just do what God needs them to do. Marlene Wakeman, 33-year-old mother in West Point, Nebraska, believes angels rendered assistance when her 6-year-old daughter's health took a drastic turn for the worse. Emily had had a stroke at 7 months, and she's partially handicapped, Wakeman says. Years later, Emily became ill while the family's vacationing. Then she goes on to explain, last year, we went on vacation with my parents to Yellowstone National Park. On the way home, driving through Wyoming, Emily said she didn't feel well. She started vomiting, and her eyes weren't focusing. We needed to get her to a hospital, but the nearest town, Rock Springs, was 70 miles away. Emily kept getting worse, and as we approached Rock Springs, I prayed we'd find help quickly. Just then, we saw a blue and white hospital sign, and there were 3 or 4 more signs that led us straight to the emergency room. A doctor at the hospital was able to quickly diagnose Emily as having a seizure and was able to stabilize her with anticonvulsants. When the moment of crisis was over, Ms. Wakeman mentioned that the signs had been a lifesaver. The doctor looked at me and said, "What signs?" He said he traveled that road every day, and there were no hospital signs. But all 4 adults in the van had seen them. We went back and looked again. They were all gone. I called someone at the Chamber of Commerce. She said there's never been any hospital signs on that route. I believe they were put there by God or his angels. Isn't that interesting? Man, pretty cool. You know, and again, I mean, you know, there's no guarantee, but I think it's a very good possibility. God loves people. God loves you. And there are times where God will do miraculous things to save people, especially children, you know. These are all great stories. But how are these different from the popular notion, right? There's no angel present and love and peace are felt. This is interesting. I mean, surely there was love and peace present when a girl was able to get to the hospital. But when they were driving their minivan, the girl's throwing up, her eyes are crossing, she's having seizures. Did the mom say, "And in the midst of all this, we saw an angel and we felt peace"? Is that what she says? No. She says, the angels did God's bidding. You see, the popular idea of what an angel does is way different than what an angel really does. Do you want peace? Do you want love? Do you want these warm feelings? Let me show you where they come from. Galatians 5, if you grab your Bibles, this is on page 868. Galatians 5 is going to tell us where these things like love and peace come from, and it's not going to be from angels. This is going to blow your minds, I hope. Page 868. All right. Chapter 5, starting at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Listen, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If we are keeping in step with the Spirit, what types of things are we producing? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these things that the popular world tells us, this is what angels do. Angels bring peace and love and joy. No, that's not right. Angels sometimes kill you, okay? Angels sometimes help you out of jail. Angels usually will bring a message, but they don't bring love and joy. You know what? Who brings love and joy? You do. And I do. Check this out. I mean, more specifically, the Holy Spirit does, but he does it through us. Check it, because look again at verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. If we keep in step with the Spirit, what are we doing? 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So if you and I are keeping in step with the Spirit, we are the ones that brings love and joy into each other's lives. This is cool because we don't have to find some spiritual angelic experience to find love. We just need to know how to spend time with each other. That's something I can handle. Is that something you can handle? We have to be able to be with each other, spend time with each other, and learn to enjoy time with each other. Because let's be honest, most of the time, We're too busy messing around, trying to get our jobs done, move from here to there, do this, do that. I'm guilty of it, very much so. And we don't spend time to just sit down and let peace and love from each other just soak in, right? You know, when you sit down with real friends, though, people who know Jesus, and you get talking about God, man, there is some peace that comes there. Even if you've been in horrible times, even if your life's just going cruddy, you know that being with people of God, they can help you. I mean, yeah, I'm a pastor, so I get a lot of times when people are having really bad crises or just down, they'll come to the office, they'll give me a call. Why do they call a pastor? Why don't they call the police? Because the spiritual side of us recognizes we need someone who can identify with the Holy Spirit to bring that peace, the love, the joy. You want peace in your life? Hang out with someone here. Find someone here. Spend some time with them. That'll bring you more love and joy and peace than finding an angel. I think that's pretty neat, don't you? Oh, look at your outlines. Ultimately, it is not angels that bring peace and love. It's the Holy Spirit through us. Love and peace, it happens right here. Right in this room is where love and peace happens. We don't need an angel to show up. We don't need some big light to come shining forth and for us to go, oh, sing with those beautiful voices, and, have these angel things going on and then be like, wow, I feel so warm. I mean, if you want to feel warm and loving, just turn the heat up and hug a friend, Warm and loving right there. I'm serious. I'm not about the heat thing, but about the hug. Love and peace comes from you. We don't put our trust in angels. We don't put our trust in angels or anything besides God and each other. God put us here so we can help each other, so we can care about each other, and God. Our trust is in God. Our trust is in the Word of God, where it says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works through you and through me. And with that, we're going to take some questions. And then we'll go ahead and conclude after these questions. So let's kind of see what we got here. Does God need angels to fulfill his plans? Good question. And the answer to that is no. No, he doesn't. From a practical standpoint, God created the universe. God created the world. God created you and me. He can do just about anything he wants, can't he? So he doesn't need angels. In fact, he made angels. Now, kind of on the flip side, does God need angels to fulfill his plan? In some ways, yes, but not like he needs them. He just needs them because that's how he made his plan. He made a plan to use angels. So yeah, he needs them because that's how he's going to do it. Kind of like if I make a plan to put on shoes and walk across the board here, I don't really need shoes to walk across the board, but that's my plan. So I need the shoes to accomplish my plan, right? Does that make sense? So God needs angels because that's the way he made it. But he doesn't need them. If all the angels rebelled, he could still accomplish everything he wanted to. Remember, angels haven't always been around. God created angels just like he created you and me. Angels are not, when we say they're immortal, that means they'll live forever. It doesn't mean they always have lived. God created them too. All right, next question. Maybe. There we go. Guardian angels. What does Matthew 18:10 mean? Making me look at Bible verses. All right, let's turn to Matthew 18:10, page 700-something. Page 732. Okay. This says, see that you do not look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Ha ha, you thought you were going to get me, but I studied this verse in anticipation. What is this verse? Let me just say outright, does everybody have a guardian angel, yes or no? My answer is possibly yes, but maybe no. Thank you. Yeah. I think there are, and this isn't the only verse, there are a few verses that talk about what would seem like guardian angels. But it's never super clear. So what does this verse mean? See to it that you've not looked down on these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. So he's talking about children, and he says, you know, their angels always see the face of my Father in heaven. We got a couple options. Remember, one of the jobs of angels is to do the bidding of God, right? So if God loves these little ones, and God sees this little one in trouble, like that boy who is in a fire, and God sends an angel to save that boy, what is God saying by their angels always see my face? He's simply saying, look, these children are always in my presence. I'm always aware. I always have angels ready to dispatch to them. Okay, that's one possibility. Another possibility is that, you know, these children do have guardian angels. We have guardian angels. And they always can go into the presence of God. But God just, man, if there's a kid who has a guardian angel, God will listen. God will pay attention. But ultimately, so those are the two possibilities, and I'm not going to come down and say which one's right. There are some really good theologians that I respect that say there are. There are some good theologians I respect that say there aren't. So like I said, I'm not going to give one answer one way or the other, but I'll just kind of let you decide. I don't think it's that critical of an issue. The most important issue is not do these kids have guardian angels, but does God care about them? Because ultimately, it's not the angels who save them. It's God who saves them by directing the angels. So the answer to that is yes. All right, last question. Can we see angels? Naturally, no, we cannot see angels. There's a story, I'm not going to try to find it. There's a story in the Old Testament where a prophet, and I'm having trouble off the top of my head, Elijah or Elisha, maybe you guys can remember for me. He's in this camp, and he's with some people who are freaking out. They think that they're about to get taken over by an enemy. And the prophet prays, God, let their eyes be opened. And these people, their eyes are open, and they just see masses of angels protecting them. Anybody remember who that was, what prophet that was? Anybody? Elisha? Yeah, that seems... Yeah, I think you're right. Elisha. And so, you know, can we see angels? No, not by nature, but yes, we can if God allows us to see them. There's another story where this guy named Balaam is on this donkey. It's just an awesome story. And he's riding his donkey, and all of a sudden the donkey's like, wham, running him into the side of the mountain. He's like, what are you doing? He starts beating the donkey. It rides along the donkey, keeps slamming the mountain. He's like, stop that! And the donkey turns around and goes, you stop it! And the guy, I'm serious. And the guy's like, here's the weirdest part. He's not like, you're talking? He's like, no, I'm going to beat you again. He gets into the argument with his donkey, and the donkey's like, dude, there is an angel up there. And so he looks, and then there's an angel up there that's stopping them from going. And the donkey could see it, but the guy couldn't. Of course, it's a talking donkey, so the story's a little in question anyway. But no, I think it's just another miraculous story from the Old Testament. But, you know, what it all comes down to is if we really want to live safe lives, you know, we can't be looking for angels. We can't be waiting for angels to show up or to show us love. If we really want to have love, if we really want to have a good life, it's neat to know about angels. It's an important part because it's part of God's plan, so we want to know it. But it's more important to remember that if we want, you know, the world's type of angels, that's our job to be that type of angel, so to speak, to care about each other. So, remember, we've got the challenge 7 going on. And one of the challenges, the number one, is to be with the people of God. I'm going to make a challenge for you this week. To be with the people of God, but to do it in a way that's loving. I want you to find someone this week. Do something unexpected for them. Here's what we say in our outline. Do something unexpectedly kind for people in our church this week. Find someone in our church. You know, preferably someone you don't see every day. I don't know. If you want to, you can. I don't really care. And do something unexpectedly kind for them. Because the way we feel loved, the way we feel peace in our lives is from other Christians. Let's help people feel that. And here's your other assignment. If someone comes and does something unexpectedly kind for you to the next week, don't just reject it or blow it off like we usually do. Remind yourself, wow, this person took the time to care for me. And accept that love, because I think a lot of times you forget to do that. And remember, the only holy one, it's not you, it's not me, it's God, right? Angels ultimately do the bidding of God. And for that, we praise and we worship God only, never his angels. So with that, let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you tonight, Lord, and ask that you'd help us to be loving towards each other. Help us to live out what the world thinks they need angels for. Help us to show people that we, by your Spirit, can show love and peace. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.